In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, two van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible two-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. What's out there happening today? William's in the house with us, and we have a special guest we'll get to in just a minute. But today is actually, we sometimes do this, sometimes we don't tell what the date is, but I'm going to say it's January 2nd.
Yep. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year's. William, how was your Christmas?
It was wonderful.
Good.
Staying quiet, you know, staying busy, trying to just head down.
Mine was pretty easy. My kids are older, so they're like less exciting with the whole Santa thing.
Yeah.
Kind of takes a little bit of the magic out of it, of course.
What do you mean? Like, Santa is real, right?
Well, yeah, but my kids don't think that as much anymore. And I will tell you this, there is nothing that I have ever done, good, bad, wrong, right, that makes me more scared than moving Christmas presents from the basement upstairs at whatever time that is when my kids are supposed to be sleeping. I've always been just petrified. They'll wake up, they got to go to the bathroom, they need a drink or whatever, and they'll bust me, like, putting those Christmas presents under the tree.
Yeah, they're kind of like, Santa looks a lot like Dad.
Oh, my gosh. It never happened. I was so thankful. Like, I feel like that's one of my better life accomplishments. I never got caught putting presents under the Christmas tree.
Yeah, we have a special guest here in studio as well.
Zion, my dog Zion, is in the studio. He always wants to be on the show, and usually his mommy puts him upstairs. But Zion's in the studio with us today. And we have a special guest live via phone, Michelle Collins. Welcome, Michelle Collins.
Hello.
Yeah, we got the applause. Yeah.
So, Michelle, I've never talked to you in person that I recall. We've had many email message exchanges over the years as you've been Buck 50 team captain and done a great job with the team. Not Fast, Just Furious. It's a pretty solid team name. Pretty solid team name. We like it.
Pretty relatable.
Yeah. So
yeah, we have gotten faster over the years, though.
What is when you run the Buck 50? What is about your average finish time?
The whole team.
Yeah, as a team,
about 23 hours.
Okay, that's pretty peppy.
That's pretty respectable time right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We try to hit the top third.
There you go. What is your team
not
mix?
Not looking for a spot on the podium.
What is your team mix of males and females?
About 50-50, usually.
Okay. So it'll be exciting to see in the 2025 race how all these new race categories shake out with different people.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting for you guys. It may not be as exciting for William and I trying to sort through it, but I think we have some strategies and plans to help make it, you know, competitive, show the rankings for the different groups and the different ages. It'll just add another new fun element to the race.
Right.
But you recently made a really cool post. I guess I've kind of known somewhat about this, but you were not a runner not that many years ago, correct?
Correct.
And what inspired you to start running?
Actually, my kids went to Tina High School.
Okay.
The year that the Buck 50, no, sorry, the year the MAID program started.
Okay.
I was asked to volunteer with the drug testing.
Okay.
So that's how I started seeing the kids joining. Everything was so organized. They had such a little party, making them want to be a part of this. Then I got asked to volunteer at Checkpoint 5.
Okay.
Which is at Edina. And I thought you guys were crazy. Not only have I not ran a 5K, but you guys are out there running 150 miles. So then my daughter ran cross country her senior year.
Okay.
And she had never ran. So I went to some practices with her and thought, if she can do it, I can do it.
There you go. There you go.
So I made a post and asked if any of my friends would like to join my Buck 50 team. And that following year, I ran the Buck 50.
So that would have been in 2021. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that's
awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, at least you
avoided all the... I had signed up for 2 5Ks prior to that.
Okay.
And I did not finish them. So this was legit the first race I ever didn't walk. I actually finished. It was so much fun. I've ran every year since.
I think that is the strategy, or maybe the huge fulfilling moment. Like when you're trying to get into running, because I've been that guy too, it's like, okay, I just got to do whatever it is and not walk. And
yes.
Once you're able to do that, it really almost blows your mind. Like I mean, even no matter how much time and effort you put into it, you're still almost surprised. Like, I did it.
That's right.
I actually did it.
After my second Buck 50, one of my teammates said, so you want to run a half marathon? And I was like, how many miles is that? I have no clue.
That's fine. That's
She's like, it's 13.1. I'm like, well, I mean, I ran that much in the Buck just in 3 different times. So, sure.
I have found that I think that training for the Buck 50 and training for a half marathon are pretty similar as far as what you need to go through.
Yes.
The only difference is that, you know, for the Buck 50 training, we kind of encourage that those weekends of running 2 different times.
Exactly.
And
we actually did that on accident because we ran an evening. And then we would run early morning.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of doing, so that kind of happened naturally.
Yes. And sometimes we would even throw in a nighttime on that second day too. So we got 3 in a 24-hour period.
There you go. So let me ask you this. What do you think is harder, to run a half marathon or run in the Buck 50? You've got experience with multiple of both now.
Initially, I would have said the Buck 50. But now I've ran a full marathon, and the Buck 50 is a piece of cake.
You actually ran 3 full marathons in 13 months.
Correct.
Where were those at? Because that's the one thing, and we've had a couple different guests on the show, and we've talked about marathons versus half marathons, and there's a huge difference, mostly in
huge.
I mean, it's way more complicated than saying it's twice the distance, because
it is.
There's something.
Last 6 miles are killer.
So what 3 did you run?
I ran in Cleveland. Then I ran Indy.
Okay.
And then I ran Columbus.
So which was the most difficult?
Cleveland.
Because it was the first.
We didn't train. We didn't train for any hills, and there was incline, and we were not prepared.
There's hills in Cleveland?
Yeah.
I'm not. Right? I would not. I would not thought that either. I've been there a couple times, but I don't really think of that as a hilly city.
And
at
it was
all.
On the bike path. So we think of our bike path.
Yep.
We went over a bridge, and it was out and back. So. The first 3 miles, you climbed the hills. And the way back, you climbed the hills.
So they got you both.
First 3 miles, ways. Last 3 miles. Yes. Yep.
But I also think that in the marathon world that you can train, you can eat, you can, you know, be as prepared as possible. But then once race day hits, it's kind of like all bets are off and whatever kind of happens, happens too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, there's definitely.
We were supposed to train for our marathon at like 11 minute pace. And we trained at like a 9:15, 9:30.
Okay.
Trying to hit a 4 hour.
Yep.
Pretty. My PR is 4:04.
That's pretty.
And I'm not doing it again.
Done, done.
Yep, done, done.
Well, certainly.
I will say, if I ever do it again, it'll be for fun. Just not time.
Yeah. There's, I don't know the statistic of runners that run a marathon, but it's pretty small. It's a pretty small number.
Yeah, I think like 1% or something.
That's exactly what I think I had heard, but it's been so long since I've heard it. I was afraid to say it. So I'm glad you did, and I can back you up. Yeah, I mean that's a pretty short number. And congrats to you for knocking out three of them in 13 months. Thanks. And you ran 1,500 miles in 2024. Correct?
Did. Yeah.
That's huge. What was your even closest mileage prior to that?
Well, last year I did hit 1450.
Okay.
But I ran or trained for 2 marathons in that year. So that was helpful.
That's some pretty solid runner there. So you are definitely officially a runner, whatever in the world that yes. definition is. I think yes. that's a lot more flexible and liberal term than what many people think. When they first get started,
I can put that on my resume now.
Runner.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so you would have been working with Tara Mess back in the beginning when you helped with the MADE program yes. originally.
Yep.
She is definitely a wonderful person.
She is.
We love Tara.
We should probably have Tara on the show too. At some point.
Yeah, we definitely do.
So let's talk some Buck 50 things a little bit. And we're going to talk about okay. being a little bit of a team captain, because I think that is a, well, don't let me make my assumptions. What do you think it takes to be a good team captain?
I mean, I want to say organization, but I'm really not that organized.
Well, you must be. So with your team, do they, like you've been the captain every year, so... Do they?
Yeah, and this year we had 9 coming back.
Nice.
But we had 1 have to back out. So 8 out of 10 coming back.
So it makes your life quite a bit easier as a captain.
It does. Yes.
I'm not calling anyone out, but do they pay their bills? I talk to these team captains and people struggle to make payments.
Mine pay after we finish the race because they're so pumped. To do it again next year, they're already paying me so that I can make the down payment.
That's awesome. You have a great team, Michelle. Yeah. That's a great team.
That is.
Yeah.
I've heard about these nightmare stories before, and I just want to like call them out, hunt them down, collect their money.
Yeah, you almost think right. You can envision the team captains like referring them to collections agencies. Like, I need my money.
That's right. Well, we'll affect your credit score if you're not. Making your pays for, you know, vans, hotels, gas, registration fees, whatever.
Yep.
But it's definitely, you know, kind of a communication gauntlet between different people because everyone seems to communicate differently these days, whether they're Facebook messengers, texters, emails, phone calls. You kind of have to, like, take all those things into account. Do you guys have a team meeting?
Only 1 year we had a team meeting. After we finish the race, we tend to go to a dinner.
Cool.
Together.
Yep.
But like we have 1 in Cincinnati. We have 3 up toward Columbus. 1 in Waverly. Like we're just kind of all scattered out.
Makes sense.
And a lot of us didn't even know each other until we ran the buck together.
So how did you assemble your team then? This is great. I love hearing this.
Well, I mean, I posted on Facebook and I reached out to people on Strava and asked, so do you run the Buck 50?
So you were pretty aggressive then. You were out like kind of hunting.
I needed people. Yeah. Yeah. And I needed people that were going to do it.
Yeah, because you can't have, well, there's two things. I mean, it's a 10-person team, so you need all 10 people to show up. But then the secondary part of that.
And I've had that happen too. I don't know if you remember that.
You know what? I actually do. Now that you just, as soon as I was starting to say that, I kind of remember a nightmare story. Someone, we won't mention any names, but did they not like leave your team in 24 hours, show up on another team?
I don't know if they showed up on another team, but I know they didn't show up for me. Yeah, they told me the morning of, I'm sorry, I have class, I can't make it. And they had the van. So here we had no runner and no van. Team picked up her leg. She was in van one, leg five. So everybody except me, because I was pretty new, ran an extra leg.
I hate when that happens to teams. What I love is how they rally around and make sure that they run.
And figure it out.
Yeah, they run every leg of the race and don't skip anything.
I mean, those are the stories that caused us to have to change rules and account for this because it was more impressive to hear about this stuff than cause for us to say, well, you should be disciplined or knocked out of winning something, because you would have a 5-person team, have a runner go down, run with four, and then basically still run a winning time.
Right.
So you would have heard about the $1.50 then early on through your work for with drug-free clubs, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about runner five. Was that the running position that you said you've ran that twice in 4 years, correct?
Yes. Yes, because I never ran before, so I picked the easiest leg before I started recruiting other people.
Well, that's the other advantage when you're the team captain. You get to pick your spot, right?
That's right. Exactly. I get to pick.
We tell that to people all the time when we're at race expos and we're talking to folks and they're trying to figure out whether they want trails, they don't want trails, they want a difficult, they want easiest. We're like, well, just be the team captain and you can pick whatever spot you want. So the new runner... Well, we have had a new leg five the last 2 years, correct? Have you ran those?
I ran them not in the race. I ran them with Run Club.
Perfect. So you took off there from Lake Hill Campground and take the bike path towards Frankfort, right?
Yes. But just so you know, the cool part about when I ran it the first 2 years, the old leg five, it ran right past my house.
That's pretty good.
So I was a pro at leg five because I would run it every day.
That's kind of fun. We're sorry we
changed
it.
And my family would pile in the driveway and cheer me on as I ran by.
That's super exciting.
Yeah, me and Dave, we talk pretty often about, like, there's a direct correlation between the best real estate in the county compared to where the $1.50 goes. It's pretty...
We like to think that we're so special that, like, it's oceanfront property. So if you're on the 150 course, it, like, raises your property value or something. Like, obviously, that's fictitious and nobody really cares. But for one day a year, it's fun.
Yeah.
So let's talk about... So then that... you take the bike path to Frankfort, and then as soon as you kind of get to the park, you hang a quick left. And that's on Westfall Road, too, right?
Yes.
Yep, you go over the bridge, and then you take, maybe it's like a quarter mile.
Yep, turn right.
Take a right, and then that takes you to, I should have my
map
out.
The nursing home.
Yep. And those people, my understanding, are fantastic at the race. All their residents sit out on the porch, they make signs, they cheer.
Yep.
I mean, it's a part of the community, part of the county. Doesn't have a lot of traffic, so it is kind of fun that we highlight their evening or their Friday each April with some runners.
You know, I don't think I've ever been out there since we've been in that with them as a checkpoint.
You should go check it out because they do a fun, like they put their like residents hang out on the porch and they make signs.
That's awesome. Now I know, I think it was that leg two or leg checkpoint that is out in the middle of nowhere. It's almost, it was almost like it was in somebody's driveway at that
point. Oh, that was four.
Okay.
It was pretty much the worst checkpoint we had, but there just was nothing out there. It was like, that's like the best we could do.
Yeah, that was the one I could think of. I know it was out towards that general vicinity.
It was on Beer's Run.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk about 15.
Oh, yeah, Caitlin Drive.
Yep. Caitlin Drive, yep. And Beer's Run. Let's talk about 15, yep. Because 15 is a little, I'll say, tricky in the fact that it's still what we would consider an easier leg that's not real far, but there is a hill in there, right?
There is a hill. That first year that I ran it, I disagreed that it should not be an easy leg.
Do you think it should be yellow? I've kicked this around myself.
Now,
you don't know.
But I used to.
Yeah. I've had more
it
than
it starts out on a hill and you have to climb a hill later.
Yeah, when you leave the checkpoint there from the fire station on Lick Run Road.
You're out of breath your first quarter mile.
Yeah. Maybe I might reconsider that one and make it yellow.
I thought maybe there was an elevation gain that you guys set. Like to have a bar on whether it's easy, medium, hard. I just assumed it didn't meet that.
You know what? That would make us sound really smart and intelligent if we had that kind of level of detail. But it is 100% me just what my personal thought is. And I think I'm pretty fair, except for that one. That one probably needs to be yellow, especially if you've not seen it before. Plus, it's nighttime, so you can't even see.
That's true.
Really, the hill that you have, you just know that you're, like you said, you spike your heart rate out of the gate.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're cruising through there and another mile and a half down the road. It's a gradual climb.
It is. And it doesn't last that long. When you've climbed OUC and Adena Hill and, you know, it does become an easy leg. But when it's your first race ever, it was hard.
It is, yeah. Well, just the fact that you're out doing it is, there's, like, you get so amped up when you're in that race environment because you're seeing everyone running, you're seeing your teammates running, you're excited to get out there on the course. And so when it's your time to shine, like, it's hard to just take your normal cadence, your normal heart rate that you're trying to run without just, you know, overdoing it. But I guess that's why it's a race.
That's right.
So 15, and, you know, 15 is fun because then you get to run into Walnut Creek Campground, which is, you know, one of our major transition zones where both teams are coming together. So you have a combination of van, you know, you and van one are there. The runners in van two are there waiting. And that's always kind of exciting, right?
Yes. And that's, of course, that happened at leg five too. And they had music out there. Like, it was a big party at leg five.
Yeah, we have.
Leg 15 was nice because we kept a camper there.
Okay.
So when the van two was done, they went to sleep.
All right. That's kind of where you
were coming out to meet me. Yeah.
Where you guys kind of made camp for the event.
Yes.
Okay. We always kind of ask that question too when we're talking to runners as far as what is their race experience as far as like where do they stay, what do they do? And I think I know a few people who stay out there at Walnut Creek Campground during the race.
Yeah, we have a camper at my house,
okay.
Which is, you know, a couple miles from Adena. So van one comes back here and chills while van two runs their first leg.
Okay.
And then they go to Walnut Creek and chill while we run our second.
Awesome.
And then one of our runners in van two is in Yaples. So they chill there while we're running our last.
Gotcha. Do you sleep during the race much?
Not much, because I'm afraid van two will text us and say, we're way ahead of schedule, you need to get here. I do lay down for sure.
The last thing anybody wants to do is leave someone stranded at one of those major transition zones. That actually happened to me when I ran. I ran in a relay race once, and I was runner 12, so I was the last person. And when I got to my second, like, major transition zone, I got to the checkpoint, and my runner wasn't there, so I had to sit like. Just stand there for about 5 minutes. Super.
That'd be the worst.
So it was just kind of a bummer moment, you know. It's fine. Yeah. 5 minutes didn't matter when you're running for 2 days as far as your total time goes. But it just, you know, it just takes away a little bit of your excitement. That's all.
Sure.
So then 25, things start to get exciting. The sun is back up. It's Saturday. You're coming out of Soda Trails. And tell us about that experience of running.
The end of leg 25?
Just
as feels as, like it's...
Yeah, there you go.
It's 25 miles long. To get to that church, it just seems never ending.
Yeah, South Bridge Street, because it's just so straight and long.
Yes.
We've had similar comments about leg 21. Running down old 35 and how long when you just see forever. I can concur with that.
And when I practiced that leg, it felt so hard because it was so like mentally draining. Then when I ran it last year, I ran it at like a 750 some pace. And I was like, holy crap. Well, where did that even come from?
So you felt good then.
Oh, yeah. Like, the weather was perfect. It's great.
Starting to find out why Zion doesn't always get a spot here in the studio because he's laying on the cords. And luckily, he was laying on the cord that plugs into my computer, but it's got a battery, so we're fine. We're fine.
Oh, good.
He's wondering why we're messing with his spot, which is underneath the coffee table here. So leg 25, you're done, you're finished. What does that feel like in the buck 50? Like, talk about that moment where you've completed all three of your legs.
You feel like it's time to go shower, take a nap, and eat.
Well, and then because you guys have to kind of like your race is quote done, but then your second van then is back out on the course to run those last five legs.
Right. So we all go take a shower and meet them back for the finish line. And then we go have dinner together and celebrate.
Does that time when you finish between when you're there and getting to the finish line, does that feel rushed? Does that feel like you have a ton of time?
It honestly depends on how fast my people in van 2 are that year.
Okay. That's probably
the last year we had three that were 6 and 7 minute milers. So we felt like we had to hurry.
Well, you probably did because that's probably the shortest sections of the course.
Yes.
Leg 26 is about 6 miles, but then everything after that is about 3 miles. So it definitely goes pretty quick after that. I can see where that would be the case. For sure.
Yeah, at that pace, for sure.
What is your what's your favorite checkpoint in the race?
I mean, I have to say 5 because that's where it all began for me.
I love that answer, and they do a great job out there. And it is neat to you know, have that first moment where
all right,
the first van is finishing, the second van is getting ready to take off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know for a fact you're not the only volunteer to runner. I just don't know. Be curious as to what that real story is. Kevin Norman's another one of those guys that was a volunteer in the first year of the race, and then I think he's ran ever since.
Yeah, and I think if you're not a runner and you volunteer at those checkpoints and you don't get the motivation to try it yourself, like, I don't know. I just feel like that's what if I didn't ever sit out there and see those people, I don't know if I ever would have done it.
I find that the entire Buck 50 experience is very it's a mystery until you go see it and do it. And no matter what yes. video you watch or who you talk to or what you read, I don't feel like you can really understand what the Buck 50 experience is like until you get into it.
I agree.
So maybe if you're out there and you're listening and you're thinking that you'd like to consider this race, maybe that's your avenue to start. Maybe you reach out to us and volunteer at a checkpoint. You know, that would be a great way to get your feet wet before you dove all in to be a runner, I reckon.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that or you end up with a lifetime contract working for the Buck 50, kind of like myself. I mean, you'll get stuck in with it one way or another.
My wife takes care of registration, and she's had a wonderful woman who's helped her out at registration for many, many years. And about 2 years ago, she decided she was going to run in the race, and I was so excited about it. And my wife was like, yeah, but she's such a great volunteer. I want her to help us. But she's obviously involved in the race, and that's all that really matters. So you've talked about running half marathons, marathons. You've always ran the Buck 50. What is the distance of a race that you enjoy the most?
I think 10K. 6.2 miles. You're not tired afterwards. You can go out and give it your all.
I think it's a pretty solid answer, and I don't think anyone's ever said that before.
No, I don't think so. They're usually kind of in that half marathon.
Yeah, we hear lots of halves. We'll hear, you know, even 5Ks. But you're right about the 10K, because that's like you went out and you did something.
Right.
But you're not...
It wasn't too easy.
Yeah, you're not beat up or
something. And I don't need a nap now.
No. Well, I think that is why the our friends out at Chillicothe Correctional Institute put on the Buck 10 for that exact same reason. That is a 10K race, and when they started that 2 years ago, it was like a 5K just sounded too easy, so let's make it a 10K. And they've been doing that for a couple years now, and September 19th.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
that's good. I'll share that with them. I'll share that with share your story with them about you would also agree in that. What kind of running shoes do you like?
I wear Newton.
Newton, okay. I've never worn them. I know that's that's the old Harvey Lewis brand. You ever ran into him, talked to him on the course?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
And that's all Newton makes. And they're from recycled material.
Okay.
I think the year I ran into Harvey was at the campground. So what checkpoint is that? Off the bike path.
That would be
four.
Four. Yeah. That's a Lake Hill campground right there.
And we were stuck there with a lightning delay.
Oh,
the lovely lightning delay.
The famous 2023 nightmare. It really wasn't that bad. It was all fine. It, you know, obviously it kind of was a, it definitely could have been much worse. For us, we were pretty panicked for a while. I mean, certainly runner safety is important, and I think we accomplished what we needed to in that. And then luckily, we had a break in the weather and were able to get back out there without any kind of lightning action. But I find him to be like one of the nicest people in the world.
He was very nice, yes.
Just calm, cool, collected, answers questions, very engaging, crazy nice guy. I actually just reached out to him last week or so. He's still working on his running schedule for 2025. Certainly would love to have him back in Chillicothe. He does love the race, but we'll see. He's definitely a Newton guy as well. So what kind of snacks? What do you eat during the race?
I actually don't eat very much. Uncrustables
and
protein shakes are like my go-to.
All right, on the Uncrustable front, this is really important, Michelle. This is really important. Strawberry or grape jelly?
Neither. Hazelnut. You get the honey?
Is that like the...
Chocolate.
I don't think I've seen those ones.
Oh my God, they're so good.
I do like hazelnut. Well, that was like my... that was a favorite around our household here for our kids for a while. There was a lot of hazelnut toast. What's the
Nutella?
Nutella, that's it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the first I ever knew there were Uncrustable flavors besides grape and strawberry.
I taught you something today.
I've seen a honey one once. like peanut butter and honey, maybe.
Huh.
Uh-huh. But Nutella, man, I feel like we've, you know, the great thing about Nutella too is if you're a fan of chocolate, you're feeling like you get a little bit of that action with the Nutella.
I feel like this is a big dessert. Breakthrough, actually. This is a bigger breakthrough than what it needs to be, but Chris Scott's going to need to hear about this, too.
I even eat them frozen, like pull them right out of the thing,
where do you
the
buy
freezer, and just eat them.
Where do you buy them at?
Kroger and Walmart carry them.
Okay. I know I was at a Walmart, not in Ohio, and I was buying Uncrustables for my daughter's rugby team, and I did notice multiple flavors, but maybe I just overlooked the Nutella.
Huh. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
I bet you they were there.
I'll be doing some shopping later, guys.
I've made mistakes before and I'll make them again, but not buying those Nutella Uncrustables was probably one of them.
Huh. Yeah.
It's documented here on Running Off the Mouth.
Yep. That's what we do. We talk about anything.
So Michelle, you have had, let us first we've talked for, you know, a while here, but I am really proud of what you have accomplished and I'm really thankful for your work and helping us out there to Dena High School, being a volunteer. And it's super cool to see someone who just looked at running, looked at the race and said, I can do that. And you have definitely done and conquered, you know, the 150 mile journey that the Buck 50 is. So very much congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Anything that our listeners should know about the Buck 50 that you would give as a piece of advice?
Well, I will say some of the runners that have been with me from like year two planned to do the Buck 50 once, which is what I said. I want to do it once so I can say I did it. It's so much fun. It's so rewarding that we all just keep coming back. Just try it once.
That is awesome to hear. That is so awesome. So basically you're saying be prepared when you enter into this Buck 50 portal that this is probably
that you'll be back next
it's
year.
Not going to be a one-time experience.
Correct.
That's awesome. Nutella and Newton shoes, recycled materials, and you're going to doing this just one time.
It's a lifetime commitment.
This is a great show today. Thank you for being with us, Michelle. We really appreciate your time on Running Off the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast.
I was honored to be asked.
Thank you.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!